Welcome to Webcamps TV. I'm one of your hosts, Brady Gaster. To my extreme right is our other host, Corey Fowler. For the second week in a row, we're actually back in the studio together, which
it's great
fantastic.
To be here.
And our guest today is none other than a guest that we've had in the past, Mr. Howard Dierking.
Hey.
Howard has worked on a bunch of different stuff in the ASP.NET framework and tools. And
too many to remember.
Yeah, too many to remember. He rarely knows where he is or what his marching orders are.
In life and professional.
Of course, of course. I really want to see the earphones whenever you get those done. He has an invention coming. All right. we're not NDA, obviously. All right, before we get started with today's show, and before we get our giggles out, which apparently never happens, we want to introduce you to two conferences that you've probably heard of in previous years that we're going to be doing again this year, just like we do every June. The first one of those is TechEd North America. And this year, it's going to be in New Orleans. I'm going to say it right because I'm from the South. Corey never says it right because he's not.
I'm just going to start saying the Big Easy.
The Big Easy. Yeah.
That's it.
New Orleans. That's theoretical.
It's Canadian.
Oh.
Because we have Newfoundland.
Oh.
And yeah, we just pronounced all.
Anyway, we have this awesome conference coming up called TechEd. We have North America. And then in a second, we're going to show you the Europe URL as well. It's pretty easy to remember the URL, northamerica.msteched.com. And the other one is europe.msteched.com. I know that I'll be speaking at the one in North America. I believe you are as well. Or are you?
I'm really not sure at this point.
Okay, he's not sure at this point. He hasn't gotten his email yet, apparently.
Yeah.
Will you be speaking?
No, I will be wandering around here trying to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing, as per usual.
Yeah, because everybody's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so... If you don't have anything planned for the first or last weeks of June, and you live in North America or Europe, respectively, and you want to learn some awesome technology and see some good new stuff that we're putting out, I would highly encourage you to take a peek at the TechEd site and then call your boss and say, I need to go to this.
Yeah.
Okay, so just let them know that you'll be a 10 times better developer if you go to TechEd. Trust me.
TechEd Europe is in Madrid this year, which I've heard is a very beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah.
I've only flown over it, and it looked lovely from the sky.
Yeah.
I wish I could drop in and see what's going on there.
Next time, take a parachute.
Yeah.
It's also on my short list of places to go.
I was going
to
say, it would definitely hit two of the items that I want to.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Then you wouldn't have to go to Australia or New Zealand. Which you've already been.
Wouldn't
there.
Have to?
Wouldn't have to.
What are you talking about?
Parachuting and bungee jumping are just two incredibly different things.
Right.
So I would still have to go to New Zealand.
Right. Be good.
Yeah.
Well, all that out of the way, we're going to go ahead and bring this back and actually get ourselves back on task here. This happens pretty frequently, especially on Mondays when we have a sickness impeding our ability
a bit.
To...
But it's sunny.
It's sunny. It is sunny. That's probably why we're sick.
That's the sickness.
So that's just... Like, sad.
It's like 60 degrees outside and beautiful. Well, today we're going to talk about something with an awesome name. It's probably one of the more misunderstood hidden gems that we're working on right now.
At the moment, yeah.
At the moment, yeah. And I'm going to tell you what Mr. Scott Hunter told me, and then he's going to correct me. All right? But we're
but very delicately, because it's my boss, you know.
True, true. And he's probably watching, which means I'll be in more trouble than you. But what we're going to talk about today is the Katana project. Now, I could not find a katana, so Bob, you need to edit a katana in right here. Katana, sword. I found a box cutter.
Didn't have the effect.
Didn't really have the effect. It was just more humor than anything else, and bad humor at that. But we're going to talk about the Katana project, and before I allow our wonderful guest here to tell me what it really is, I'm going to tell you the paraphrased version of what I heard Katana was. Basically, if you look at ASP.NET, you're going to totally tear me up for this. If you look at ASP.NET, there's one assembly in there that you really care about. It's near and dear to your heart. It's called System.Web. System.Web has a lot of good stuff in it. Does a lot of work for you. The way Hunter described it to me was to say, and he did this because I'm an evangelist and he has to kind of come down a level, but he said, you know, Katana is basically... your ASP.NET applications running, like, not necessarily outside of System.Web, but basically you take out all those extra layers, and it's ASP.NET running on bare metal HTTP. It's like a very thin layer on HTTP sys, so it makes it obscenely fast. Now that I've kind of given you the evangelist view of what Katana is, I'll let Howard bring us up to speed on what it really is.
And I mean, it's not entirely wrong, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
The sort of... The way I would put it is that Katana gives you the ability to do that.
Okay.
And you know, more and more things from System Web, from ASP.NET, will come into that fold over time. But one of the key things that I like to make sure to mention, because I mean, frankly, sort of putting it the way that you said, it can make Katana seem like it's a replacement of
right.
ASP.NET,
right.
which justifiably freaks people out.
Right, of course.
Because they're like, oh my gosh, now I have to do something completely new.
The last 20 years learning how to do
this. Thanks a lot, Microsoft.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
yeah. And so what Katana does is it enables a bunch of things. It doesn't replace everything that you know. In
right.
fact, I think the best explanation is sort of by way of illustration, so or by way of example. So we'll actually write some code and see what this thing actually looks like. But the key thing is, we're not talking about throwing out everything you know and doing something completely new. If you want to do that, there's plenty of ways to do that without having to do it on ASP.NET.
Right.
What we want to do is take all the stuff that you're already really good at and basically make it better.
Okay.
All right. So I guess let's just, if we can, if you can indulge me to give you a little bit of the history, because
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, one of the other things that I want to point out is that Katana is not some revolutionary, somebody just thought it up randomly at the mm-hmm. at the sink one day and said, oh, we should totally change everything. This is really a, you know, sort of a next step of a continuous evolution that we've been in since, you know, almost the beginning of ASP.NET.
Cool.
So a little bit of history. So ASP.NET first released with .NET Framework 1.0
mm-hmm.
Back in 2002. Were you alive back then?
Yeah,
you
I was
guys?
Actually in school learning it when it first came out.
Oh, so, okay. So
it seems older than that for some reason. I kept thinking 2000.
No.
No.
No, okay. 2002.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the big idea with ASP.NET, right, we were optimizing, we were trying to bring a web experience for two sort of customers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you had the ASP customers, right? And you had the sort of line of business app developers, right? The WinForms customers, or formerly the VB6, you know, sort of drag and drop, you know, rich client developers.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you combine those two things, you know, basically both of those customers brought with them a bunch of stuff, right? So the ASP customers brought the HTTP intrinsics, right? So request, response, server, session, like all those kinds of things,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And the WinForms customers brought, you know, a set of expectations around being able to have controls and a design surface and
event handling. And
I just hit F5 and woo, check
yeah,
it out, right?
Yeah.
And so all of this sort of culminated with ASP.NET and more specifically ASP.NET Web Forms.
Gotcha.
Right? And the other thing that you might know, if you've built HTTP modules or handlers or any of that stuff, is that all of that is very much a reflection of the underlying eventing model with IIS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, this thing was really designed for those two audiences, and it was, you know, from the beginning, very much sort of expected to run on IIS, which was a reasonable expectation, especially
yeah.
back in 2002, right? So there were a couple challenges that over time sort of came to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
One is we were part of the .NET framework, and so that was shipping, what, every 2 to 3 years,
mm-hmm.
right? And lo and behold, we discovered that the web actually moves a little faster than that, like 2 to 3 weeks. And so, you know, we had this challenge of, like, how do we get bits into customers' hands faster? Because, you know, otherwise we just,
yep.
we lose out, right?
Mm-hmm.
We miss opportunities. The other thing was the way that ASP.NET was built, as you mentioned, everything was put into this one assembly, this one DLL called system.web. And for better or worse, it was all fairly tightly coupled, or highly cohesive, if you want to think of it that way.
Highly cohesive. I like
it. It's glass half full. Yeah. So, so basically, as new requirements came in, as new capabilities we wanted to support, that assembly just got bigger and bigger,
right?
Right? And then, of course, it was still shipping in the framework, and so you can imagine testing it and shipping updates, and it was just this. It became this big giant ball of pain, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, all of our features were turned on by default.
Okay.
So if you weren't using, you know, I don't know, feature X, you had to explicitly go in and turn it off, which most people didn't do,
right?
Right? Especially not initially. People are more sort of keen towards doing that now. But, you know, so the problem is that you end up paying a performance cost, regardless, you know, of whether you're using these features. It's not just about the private working set of, you know, system.web, although that is a cost as well, but it's also processing tax, right? And then, of course, you only have one hosting option, right? So this is sort of the world as of, what, like 2005, 6-ish? Yeah. This is the state of the world, right? Mm-hmm. So solution one, MVC comes along. Remember, Scott Guthrie goes down to Austin, alt.net, very first one. I was there. It was awesome. And says, hey, guys, you know, we've been thinking about this MVC thing. You want to see it? And everybody's like, ah, you know. And so MVC came into being. So 2007, 2008, right? And with this MVC framework, we realized we had this opportunity. And that was to take MVC out of band, which means not ship it as a part of the .NET framework. Mm-hmm. And so we shipped it as NuGet, which is awesome. I'm sure everybody out there knows what NuGet is. If not, you absolutely should. You should know what it is. You should be using it, create packages. And I'm not just saying that because I'm also the NuGet PM. maybe I am. But so we took it out of band, right? And this gave MVC, this gave ASP.NET the ability to iterate much, much more quickly than ASP.NET. The second opportunity came with Web API. Mm-hmm. So you guys, you've done a few shows on Web API. Yeah, yeah. You're a little familiar with that. Yeah. You know, the web changed, right? So now websites tend to be much more static. Some websites are even just serve up static HTML, communicate with Web APIs on the back end for AJAX, and do all of the rendering client side. Web API, as you know, is a framework that enabled that type of application architecture. Mm-hmm. This gave us another opportunity, and that was to break the dependency on system.web. See, even with MVC, we can ship it out of band, but we're still tethered to a lot of the types in system.web.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Web API has no dependencies on anything in system.web.
Oh, nice.
So it's completely decoupled. We can, you know, iterate as fast as we want. I mean, literally as fast as we want, with no dependency to anything that ships as a part of the core framework.
Hence the whole being able to self-host your web APIs.
Well, and that came along with it, yeah. So one of the cool things, yeah, we had no dependencies on system web, which meant we had no link to that IIS eventing model or anything, you know, sort of in that area. It also came out of, you know, originally Web API was built by the WCF team.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if
yeah.
you remember that bit of history. Yeah. And so just, it was kind of a part of the WCF, just sort of set of capabilities way back from the beginning of WCF to have the ability to self-host. And so that just sort of came along when Web API came into the ASP.NET team.
Yeah.
So serendipitous, all goodness. Now, that said, there was a, you know, once we had self-host, we sort of realized something. And that was that it was sort of predicated on this idea that you were going to spin up your own process and you were going to bind it to a port, you know, set up your listener, and that was how you did self-host.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was going to be the case for every, you know, sort of component of your application that was in that self-host world.
Right.
If you think about a modern web application, you know, it used to be just a few years ago you had your sort of rendering part and you had your web API, right? And some static files. So even then you had three. So now, if you think about a modern web app, you've got static files, right? Yeah. You've got your web API, you've got your rendering like MVC, and you have the thing that I know is near and dear to your heart, SignalR.
Mm-hmm.
So you have some sort of push thing. So you're talking about four different things that sort of make up a modern web application.
Right.
And the burden of self-hosting all four of those things independently, spinning up four processes, is more than I think is reasonable to expect somebody to go and do.
Yeah, yeah.
So what we really needed was, you know, what we really want is to be able to take all four of those things and just compose them into a single pipeline that we can then host either self-host or IIS or wherever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's how we get to where we are today with Katana, right?
It's interesting because as we're talking about this, I'm thinking you've heard me go off on this, and the people in Slovenia heard me complain about it last week. A lot of programmers gripe and complain about this concept of ceremony, and it almost sounds like we had this full image of how to do things. And now we're actually making it easier for you to just snap as you want to.
Yep.
But I also wonder about the guys that complain about ceremony now saying, well, I got to go through the ceremony of creating a server and self-hosting it and all that. And it's like, well, you didn't like it when we gave you everything, so.
Well, and you know,
we'll do whatever you want.
We'll show this in just a second, but what we're hoping here is that we can kind of let you have your cake and eat it too.
Cool, awesome.
So we'll get to that. So let's start with just what is Katana, mm-hmm. right? There's this big sort of, well, is Katana Owen, is Owen Katana, the same thing, different things. So let's just sort of draw that distinction. So Katana is basically the set of components that Microsoft is building around a common hosting abstraction. And that hosting abstraction is Owen.
Yeah.
All right? So Owen, I had somebody come to me the other day and they said, you know, I went out to the, you know, you see this website, right? Owen.org. Mm-hmm. I went out to Owen.org and I looked at it and I couldn't figure out, there was no code for me to get started. And the reason for that is because Owen is a specification.
Yeah.
So you're not going to execute a specification mm-hmm. Unless you have superpowers, which
there's that.
Yeah. So Owen is the specification around this hosting abstraction.
Right.
And that abstraction, to drill into that a little bit, is basically just this, right? So I have this delegate, right? This app, we call it the app func, because mm-hmm. like we like the 70s.
Yeah.
And it's just a function that takes a dictionary of string object and it returns a task.
Okay.
That's it. There's three goals of Katana, and we'll get into that in a second, but one of them is portability. And the way that we achieve portability is by reducing the abstraction to as few primitives as possible.
Okay.
Right? Because then that's the least amount of coupling that anybody would need to have.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So this is the fundamental abstraction. So if you think about this architecturally, right, an Owen application is really made up of sort of four logical layers, right? So at the very bottom, you have your host, right? Mm-hmm. And the job of the host is just a process manager,
right?
So spins up a new process, and its immediate responsibility then is going to be to call out to your user code, and your user code is going to provide it a pipeline, which is just a set of Owen components. We're going to talk a lot more about that in a second, so don't worry if that doesn't make sense just yet. A server then is, once it's configured with a host, it's going to bind to a port, and then as requests come in, it's going to funnel those requests through the pipeline that you configured, right? The application framework is going to be implemented as a regular Owen pipeline component, and then it's going to do what application frameworks always do, right? It's going to provide a programming model to developers. So this is actually a really key point in terms of the, oh my gosh, do I have to throw out everything I know? No. If you build on Web API, Web API will provide its own Owen endpoint, and you will continue to build on Web API just like you always do, right? And then, of course, your application is your application.
Yeah.
So in terms of, I mentioned that Katana is the set of components that Microsoft produces, mm-hmm. right, that are all sort of Owen aware, right? So we have components at most of these, at well, really all of the layers here. So at the host layer, we have a system web host, which is sort of IIS system web. You know, in that world, they're all kind of one and the same.
Gotcha.
So IIS is the process manager.
Okay.
We also have Owen host, which is a standalone executable that can start up an Owen application. You'd mentioned, you know, well, I don't want to have to write my own, you know, console app just to host my, well, great, here you go.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you can have your own custom process if you still want to go that route.
Right.
Did I say, is it route or route? When I'm in Canada, I'm always
asking him. I mean.
Well, you know, I'm never sure.
Depends on which part of the world you're in.
Okay, all right. At the server level, you know, we had system web, I mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a server that's built on HTTP listener. So this is going to be very similar sort of characteristically to what you'd have with WCF self-host, right?
Okay.
It's on HTTP listener.
Nice.
And then we have this new thing called web listener, which is, it's not going to be coming out with the next release wave, but is basically a ultra lightweight server that we've been working on internally that's, we've been seeing some pretty amazing performance results from.
Nice. Cool. Nice. Is that the bare metal HTTP?
That is, yeah, that is as bare metal as you can get.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
We also, in terms of framework bindings, I mentioned Web API, mm-hmm. that's one. SignalR is the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, SignalR doesn't have an alternate hosting story.
Right.
We're it, right? Mm-hmm. So SignalR is an Owen host,
yeah.
and that is it. That is all it shall be.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the goals, I mentioned composability. But the three basic goals here, right, are composability, portability, and then performance and scale, right? Mm-hmm. Composability, like this is kind of what ASP.NET of the past looked like, right? You could fly probably a little further than this illustrates, but yeah. You get the idea.
Yeah.
And the big idea is that you have this big monolithic framework, and like here's a little point. Maybe you can plug something in here. Maybe you can stack something on there, you know, up here a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But not a lot.
But not a lot. I mean, and you know, honestly, to do anything, you know, non-trivial, you're looking at like lifting this whole thing up, and you know, it's could be a giant mess, right?
Yeah.
So what we've tried to do is sort of break that model down, right? So here's an example. You've got server, you know, the server starts up, and then it immediately looks for your app's code, which your app is going to create a pipeline. Here's like an example, right? So auth, static file, web API, and return that back to the server, and then as requests come in, they just flow through your pipeline, right? So that's sort of the mechanics, right? Now, we favor convention over configuration. That's the world we live in. We embrace that. And a couple conventions to be aware of for the app startup code, mm-hmm. We look by default, and you can override all of these things, but by default, we look for a class called startup that has a method called configuration.
Okay.
It takes a implementation of this interface type called iAppBuilder, and then you can call use, right?
Right.
To build up your pipeline. That's the mechanics of how you build up your pipeline.
Now, that seems like a recent thing. The last SignalR demo that I did, self-hosting SignalR, I just pulled out some old code, and
yep.
It had a configuration method that took iAppBuilder, but I think it was like my SignalR host. You know, it was like a different class name,
right.
And it did not work. And then I just was like, okay, let me look at the samples, and I thought, okay, let me change my class to startup, and then everything partied.
Yep.
Is that something that's changed in the last 2-3 months?
Yeah, I mean,
it seemed like it was any class name would work, and then all of a sudden, not so.
I'm not sure about the any class name would work in the case
okay.
of SignalR.
Okay.
We've always really looked for this convention.
Right. Okay. Okay.
SignalR is just more in this sort of wave,
okay.
has been focusing on their self-host capability.
Right, right.
So that's probably
okay.
just a bunch of churn between you know
yeah.
their system web implementation
right.
and now. The iAppBuilder, so another question that comes up periodically is, okay, so ON is a specification and Katana is a set of components, but what about ON, the ON NuGet package, which contains ON.dll?
Right.
Right. That's it, which is a fair question. It is not, that is not considered one of the Katana components.
Oh, okay. It's part of the ON spec, yeah.
It's not part of the spec.
Okay.
But it's basically a helpful convenience, that sort of builds on top of the guidelines in the spec. So
okay.
the spec has required parts and it has some guidelines.
Okay.
And starting up a host is one of those,
okay.
sort of sequence. The ONDLL, in fact, the only thing that it actually contains is iAppBuilder.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Right, so it's sort of the least
nice.
Common denominator okay. for ON applications.
Good
and
stuff.
The Katana components take, you know, dependency on that.
That really clarifies a lot for me, because I've played with a lot over the last year with the SignalR self-hosting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten easier and easier, but there was a time when the NuGet packages, the versioning was all
yeah.
interesting. It seems like now it's butter, like everything's cooking.
It's so. Smoothing out.
Okay. Okay.
yeah, it's smoothing out.
Gotta love open source.
That's right, that's right. And we should mention that we are actually a fully open source
right.
project. We
nice.
Take contributions. It's all goodness.
Awesome.
So for portability, like if we think about the sort of logical, you know, application stack, application architecture for an ON app, you've got, you know, let's say you're running system web on IIS with Windows, you can just really easily swap all of these things out. So now you go to HTTP Listener running your console app, still on Windows, switch that out to Web Listener, switch out the host, right? You can do all of these things, and you can do all these things without recompiling your application.
Nice.
That's really kind of the cool thing here. You can then, of course, move it completely, you know, somewhere completely different. And one of the other questions that we get asked a lot, you know, is, you know, what about Mono? Mm-hmm. If you've got all this swappability, are you going to run on Mono?
I was just going to say, you had all the other things swapping. What about the OS at the
yeah.
bottom?
Yeah. And the answer is, yeah. We, through our friends at CodeBetter, we have got a CI server set up to do Mono builds of the Katana components.
Nice.
So we will absolutely plan on running on Mono.
So you can build a ON listener that runs on your Android phone.
Yeah.
Be good times.
Yeah.
Chris would love that.
Yeah.
So in terms of perf and scale, here's the big idea with this, right? Is that through the composition model, you remember I mentioned earlier, like, that with sort of ASP.NET in its early form, you had all of these capabilities and they were all lit up by default, and so you were paying this tax regardless.
Yeah.
The big idea with Katana is that you build the pipeline. So you can make it as performant as you want or as feature rich as you want, right? And but the idea is that you sort of explicitly make those trade-offs rather than them just sort of being there.
Nice.
Is there a recipe engine? So if you had something that you had a certain thing, things that you wanted to have in your pipeline, but you wouldn't go and like write all the code, are there like snippets that can help you along the way or anything along those lines yet?
Not yet so much. I mean, we have a bunch of samples in the ASP.NET.CodePlex.com repo. And I suspect that as we, you know, get further along this path, we'll have scaffolding that will include snippets and things like that.
Cool.
Great open source
opportunity,
For anyone out there that wants to take this opportunity to kind of go out, build something, and contribute it back to the project.
Cool.
For sure.
Very good.
Of course, we're async throughout because this is the world that we live in, right? And then we also, by separating the server and the host components, it gives us the flexibility to optimize around both.
Nice.
So by default, we have this HTTP listener, we have system web, but we can swap out the server without having to change the underlying host. So let's say that you're using Owen host. As new servers become available, you just drop them in, run them, good to go.
Awesome.
Just a quick thing on availability. I tell you what, let's come back to this. Let's write some code. Oh, you're installing Visual Studio.
Yeah.
Live. That's impressive.
Right.
I actually have Visual Studio installed on my little Surface here.
Nice.
I just have my machine reimaged by the wonderful people at the that office.
Oh. So we'll just do an empty web application, right? And you know, the reason that we're using the web application template is because it doesn't put things in debug release under bin. It puts everything in bin.
Okay.
And by default, so there's two reasons, really. One is we have an immediate F5 experience with the system web on IIS Express.
Yeah.
The second reason is that by default, we look for your assemblies when you run Owen host. We look for those in bin.
Okay.
And so this just puts everything in the right place, right by default.
Makes
right?
sense.
So the first thing we're going to do here is we're just going to install some components here. So we'll say install package Microsoft.Owen.host.systemweb, right? So this is going to give us the system web server with IIS running as a host.
And that's not in pre.
That's not in pre. This is out, yes.
Cool.
This came out in February, I believe,
okay.
With SignalR's release.
Nice.
Because remember, we're their hosting story.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got that installed. And now really the only thing we need to do here is create that class, remember? The startup class. So let's just go in here and what is it? Shift Alt C. Haha. And we'll call it startup. Okay. And the only thing we have to do here is let's add that configuration method, right? So public void configuration. And remember we're gonna take an iAppBuilder. Okay. And we're going to pull that in. By default, I'll just point you to the packages config. By default, when we did system web, we also got web infrastructure so that we could do the automatic loading of the module and Owen. So we got IAP Builder from that.
Nice.
Right? And then let's just do something really, really simple. Everybody loves Node.js's startup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like five lines of code and I have a web server, right? So let's do the same thing, okay? We're going to go here and we're going to install one more package. So we're going to say install package and we'll say on.extensions. And this is just, you know, some helpful extension things, right, for Owen.
Shortcuts.
Yeah. And so, and one of the things it's going to give us is some additional use overloads, right? So we'll say app.use, say use handler, and let's do async, because async is good, right? And what we can do is we'll say, here's our request, here's our response, we're just creating a delegate here. Okay? It would help if I added the syntax correctly. And then let's say response.contentType is text plain. And then let's just write hello world, right? Because that's what you do in a demo like this, right? So we'll write async, right? So we'll return that. Because remember, we return a task here. And we'll say hello world. All right, so there you go. Web server, what, 5, 6, 7 lines of code. Mm-hmm. And we'll just F5. Because remember, by using web application as the default template, we have kind of a... Oh. So this is interesting. If you do this, you'll get something like this. And the reason is, by default, you remember we're in IIS, so there's, you know, it tries to use routing to handle, you know, where a request goes. So we are going to add one thing here. We're going to add a a configuration setting. This is actually going away. You won't have to do this in the release one. But for right now, we'll add a key. And it is on handle all requests. And we'll set the value to true. And then let's try this again.
I wish I'd had this demo a year ago.
Once we get that time machine working. So here you go. You got a web server, just a handful of lines of code. And that's, you know, that's interesting, but you know, you could do that with IIS today, right? So let's do something a little bit more interesting. Let's self-host this. Let's not change anything, and let's just self-host it. So we're going to install another package. So we're going to say install package microsoft.on.host.http listener. Mm-hmm. All right, we talked about that. And we're going to install the pre-release because it's not out yet. And really, the only reason we're doing this, the only reason we're installing a package, we're not going to change anything. We're just going to do this so that it puts it in bin.
Gotcha.
So if you wanted to, you don't have to recompile. You just need to get the DLL into bin.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I'm lazy like that, so we're going to use NuGet for that because it's awesome. All right, so let's just start fresh here. And let's back up a few steps and go to Web Application 5. And we'll just go into the project, not the solution. All right, so here you go. You can see we've got our bin. We've got everything in the right place. What we can do now is just say on host. Okay? That's really interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So this thing's running. Let's just make sure that it's actually doing something. So by default, we use port 5000. There you go.
Cool. That was quick. Yeah, right? That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, I mean, you know, that's...
Obviously, all configurable. So if I'm already using port 5000, I just do dash.
Yeah. In fact,
change the port.
Let's do that. I don't know why I just closed that, but you know, whatever. So let's actually take a look at what are the options here. So we'll say on host. So you can see there's a whole bunch, right? And actually, let's just for the sake of illustration, let's swap in with that completely different server.
Cool.
Right?
Cool.
Same host, different server, right? So let's go back to Visual Studio, and we're going to do the lazy way of dropping in another assembly.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to install package microsoft.on.host.weblistener pre, and we're going to pull this from our MyGet. We have a MyGet feed.
Okay.
If you don't know what that is, it's basically MyGet hosts custom package feeds for NuGet.
Actually, if you don't mind doing one more call out, if you want to learn more about MyGet, there was a great talk during AzureConf a couple weeks ago that Martin Balio did.
Oh, cool.
Talking about the architecture and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely suggest going and checking that out.
Right on. So we're going to drop that in there, assuming I spelled everything right. Okay, that looks promising, right? So let's just do another build here, get it into the bin folder, and then let's pop back over here. So we're going to say we're going to run the same thing, except we're going to set our server equal to the name of the DLL, right? So microsoft.on.host.weblistener.
And it just knows to look in bin from here?
That's right.
It looks for bin and then goes in the...
Okay. That's right. So this is all we should have to do. You might notice that this the parameter syntax for the command line looks a little bit different than what you might normally be used to. We've noticed that as well, and we're looking to change that. But
that seems pretty logical.
But look, I mean, this is all we did. Yeah. We're now running completely different server. If I go back over here, we're still, cool. You know, cranking. So that's kind of interesting for Hello World. I want to show you just a couple other things. How are we doing on time? Debating.
10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay. I'm going to skip the custom middleware thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show you the web API thing, because that's more interesting, don't you think? Yeah, I think that's a lot more interesting.
We actually have a lot of...
All right. So let's do this. Let's actually just plug web API into this.
Okay.
Right? I mean, should be that easy, right? Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do here, we're going to actually keep our handler here, right? But right before it, let's do the web API thing. So we'll go to NuGet, because NuGet is at the center of all of this. So we'll say install package microsoft.aspnet.webapi.owen.
Okay.
Seems like logical enough name, right?
I agree with that.
Good. And because web API is factored into a lot of different packages, we install a ton of packages.
Nice.
And that's how it goes. So now, you can see we also have this really cool new extension method, use web API. Straightforward. And it's going to take a, among other things, a HTTP configuration. So we'll say config. And oh no, there's not a config. Okay, well, let's create one. And we'll say new HTTP configuration. Great. And now we do what we normally do with web API. Let's add a route. So we'll say config.routes.map.http route. We'll call it default. And let's just do something super simple like controller.
That'll work.
Right? Simple as you can get. So now the only thing we need to do is actually create a web API controller.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do that real quick.
And by the way, while he's typing, if you wanted to do the same sort of thing using SignalR, like host your SignalR hubs inside of my own thing, the method that hangs off that object is called map hubs, which is just like you get in the normal global file deal.
Yep.
It's exactly the same.
So here we go. API controller. Let's do public. I don't know. Let's have it return an int, because that's more interesting than a string.
Yeah.
And we'll do get values. Remember, web API has its own conventions where it's going to try and map to the HTTP method or verb.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. And then let's just return a new array of 1, 2, 3. Cool?
Works.
OK, good. Now, I'm going to do something a little bit different here. We'll do a little, I probably should stop this in order for it to not blow up on me when I build. I'm going to switch over and actually just run curl for this, because a lot of times the browser, when it gets a JSON response back, it's like, oh, would you like to open this document?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'd actually like you to display it. But needless to say, yeah. All right, so we're running our server, all right? So that's cool. I don't know why when I tabbed it over, it decided to...
put a control character.
Yeah, whatever. And then let's open our... we'll open our Git terminal, because that gives us curl. Hooray. And so now I should be able to curl localhost 5000. And remember, we're trying to match our API name.
Yep.
And look at that. So just to prove that it's actually getting JSON back by default, you can see our content type here is application JSON.
Nice.
And just to prove that we're actually doing full web API and not some sort of, you know, sort of trick. Right? It's no tricks. Let's actually sort of modify that request, and let's add a header. So we're going to do content negotiation here, right? And we'll say accept is application XML.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So that's what we're going to show here. There's a whole bunch more, you know, with custom middleware and a bunch of stuff that you can do there.
And I assume you could use DI, IOC, and those and everything.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Is that hard?
No.
So you're going to come back on the show?
Yeah, just to show you how not hard it is.
Okay. Good. And the debugging.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
For sure.
That'll be good.
Yeah, that's actually, we should do this again in just probably like a month or so.
Okay. You heard it, right? So use the comments feature if you want like a second edition of this. Tell us. And tell us what the green screen's going to be.
The green screen.
Yeah.
Oh.
We're trying to come up with an idea for an episode for the green screen. So we put it out to our audience to tell us what they
want
to see.
So if you want Howard on the green screen, like fishing or whatever, hanging off the CN Tower, we could do it.
So there'll be a sword in my hand.
With a katana.
Yes.
We'll have a katana this time.
For sure.
Yeah. Cool.
So just in terms of availability, like I said, Owen released at the end of last year, System Web, which, like you pointed out, is not pre-release. It was released in February to support SignalR. Mm-hmm. 1.1.0, that's the component set that's coming late summer.
Okay.
And so you can see my poor spelling, actually. PowerPoint doesn't really check for these things. But the HP Listener Server, that's one of the things. The Owen host, and we talked about the Visual Studio integration.
Right.
And then one of the big things that I'm actually really excited to talk about is we're launching with a whole set of authentication middleware components.
Groovy.
I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a little bit of discussion around, you know, how should I do authentication with Web API?
Yeah.
It seems to be a big question.
Yeah, I ask it every day.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what we're saying with what we're doing with Katana is you'll just plug them in with middleware, so use Facebook auth, right?
Nice.
But here's the big deal here.
Yeah.
Is because it's a single pipeline, your authentication components can sit in front of Web API, SignalR, static file, and you can apply the same auth logic across frameworks.
That's awesome.
Right?
That's really, really cool.
It's a really stinking big deal.
Yeah. That's huge.
So we're really excited about that
nice.
Work.
Can't wait to party on that.
Yeah, man.
That'll be
so
fun.
So that's kind of where the state of where we're at today. Hopefully, it's a little bit more clear in your mind.
Yeah,
did we accomplish that
absolutely,
goal?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I've been tinkering with Owen on and off for about a year. I think we talked about it at webcams a long time ago. And
it's gotten a lot easier since then.
It's gotten a lot easier.
Yeah.
So this is really exciting. If you or somebody that you know has been trying to party on top of Owen and you've been having problems like the ones that I had, which lasted for a really long time, make sure you email them the show because
yes.
Howard just made it dirt simple and has a lot of good promises coming up.
Yeah, we're really excited.
Cool. So it should start raining again so you can get well and be more productive?
No. No, how about I just get well?
I think vitamin D would be good.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to stand outside.
Yeah,
really.
You can get
just
that.
Just soak
now.
It in.
Just stay stand out there.
If you need me, I'll be standing outside
that'll be good.
All day.
That'll be good.
Awesome.
Holding a stop sign.
Yes.
Awesome.
So one quick summary.
Yeah.
Fire us some URLs. So nuget.org.
Right. Let's see. Oh, look at that.
Ta-da!
Look at that.
I'm like the slide introducer, and that's my complete job here.
We should get you a t-shirt.
And I think this is the last slide, so I'm done.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, yeah, and are we going to make this available as a resource? Or?
Totally. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Yeah.
We'll have links below the video where people can just go click out.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. The big one that I would point you to is our CodePlex site, so Katana Project. Samples are aspnetcodeplex.com. So.
Nice.
Those are the two that if you ignore all of the rest of them, which of course you shouldn't do, but if you do, those are the two that you should pay special attention to.
Nice. Awesome. Cool. Well, thanks a lot for your time today.
Sure
you probably
thanks,
have more meetings than we do, so we'll go ahead and let you get back to those.
Cool. Thanks.
Awesome. And thanks a lot for coming out. I hope you enjoyed this. We hope you enjoyed this. Pardon me. Take care.